Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed, so I call your name. Your name.
Hello, and welcome to Signs of Life with your host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our guest tonight is Riley Hegarty. And we will be talking about the great mediums of yesteryear. If you have a question or comment for our guest tonight, the number here is 1-888-627-6008. Tonight's show is sponsored by the Comlock Center, and they can be found on the web at www.comlock.com. So, Bob, is there anything interesting you'd like to chat about tonight?
Well, there's a few things I had on my mind. So I was daydreaming, and I was saying, we know that, you know, our thoughts, whether consciously or unconsciously, have the power to affect others, from plants, you know, to humans. So what if you awoke one morning and you found that your abilities were greatly enhanced to a super level where your thoughts, good and bad, had a direct effect on people that you were, you know, sending them to or encountering? I mean, how do you think your life would be? How would you use that?
Well, first, initially, it would be chaos, because if I didn't know that I had this superpower, I would be misusing it. Because if your thoughts are going to affect things, whether they're good or they're bad, I would venture to guess that everybody, all of our listeners and everybody we've ever come in contact, have at times both good and bad thoughts. And not intentionally to hurt anybody, but you have a thought. And then if it's going to affect people without you being able to control it, that could create a chaotic situation.
Absolutely. So, you know, you'd have to harness, you know, your abilities, and then figure out a way that you can affect positive change, right? So if you were the only one that had those abilities, not like everybody else could help you in the cause of spreading the good thoughts, but maybe the ripple effect would be there. Everybody that you encountered through the day that sent, you know, loving thoughts to, that would, you know, spread throughout the world. So it's an interesting concept.
It is, but don't piss me off.
Yeah. You know, exactly.
Right?
Well, it always gets down to the point of, we know that there's both good and evil in the world.
Right.
And fortunately, the good outnumbers, you know, the not so good. You know, and that's why we keep moving forward, as, you know, as a species. But sometimes it seems like the tide is tilting the other way.
Well, I think that's because beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. And the people who like to see the good in everyone and who turn negative things into positive things don't always vocalize that. So the noise that you hear in the background is almost always the negative noise. But the goodness that gets done is being done quietly.
Right. But what about those in the spirit world? I mean, do you think that negative thoughts are communicated from that realm, you know, to this realm? I mean, the mediums that we encounter never talk about that. You know, they never say that they're getting, you know, encountering, you know.
Well, I think highly developed evidential mediums that are devoted to working with spirit are working at a higher enlightened level. And from the knowledge that we have of how the spirit world might work, indicates that there are lower vibrational energies there, darker energies there. But if you're operating yourself on a higher level of goodness, a higher level of enlightenment, then you're not attracting that dark energy that's on the other side. But yeah. Not that it doesn't exist on the outside. It does. It's just that when people are trying to do good and have good positive thoughts, that those negative energies can't get in there.
Right. That's why the mediums talk about surrounding themselves with light.
Right. And light things attract, and positive work attracts positive work.
Yeah. So people, most of the near-death experiencers the encounters on the other side and the environment on the other side, which they travel, are, it's one of all-encompassing light and love and compassion. That's what they bring back. So I have to think there's a lot less of ill-intentioned entities, than there are in the physical realm.
Right, and you make me think of the experiment that Claude Swanson wrote about in his second book, where they were doing work with trying to heal cancer cells. And they could only get them healed to a certain level, that there was, 80%, 85%. And then it occurred to them that if they associated it with some goodness, that may have an influence on the healing of the cells. And so what they did was they made donations in the name of the experiment before they went ahead, and it exponentially increased the amount of healing that took place in trying to cure the cancer cells.
Yeah.
It was cool.
I on another subject, we get tons and tons of emails, and we know that corporations, more so today than ever in the past, are incorporating programs that they offer to their employees, mindfulness, meditation, stress modification, all these things. Look, they're doing it not necessarily to be altruistic, but to increase productivity, But we had an inquiry recently, and somebody was asking if we were aware of corporate human resources departments that offer services of mediums to employees that are bereaved, or going through, a grieving, process. And I was, not aware of anything. I mean, there may be some out there, but what you think that'll ever happen?
Maybe not in our lifetime, but it should. I mean, we're seeing in the years that we've been around, Forever Family Foundation's been around since 2004. We have seen quite a bit of movement and change in the positive direction of accepting what we are learning outside of mainstream science, and that movement is taking hold. Now, whether it has something to do with the turmoil of the globe or people being worried and they're suddenly turning to spiritualism, and we saw this in the 70s with the Vietnam War, we're cycling in again where people are looking towards spirituality. And by that, I mean not religion, but a connection to a higher source in order to bring us together and bring positive change into the world. And we're seeing that.
Yeah. Well, in the corporate world, unfortunately, we're dealing also with insurance and money and so forth. So, when and if the time comes when the insurance companies will include, consultations, let's say, with mediums as part of, therapy for mental health, that's when you'll see the corporations.
Right, but you're seeing a lot of research that's showing the positive effects of mediumship on mental health.
Right. We have a great guest tonight, Riley Hegarty. He's really a world authority on historic spiritualism. If you want to know about some of the amazing mediums of yesteryear, stay tuned. So we're going to go to a quick break. We come back, we're going to have Riley Hegarty with us, so stay with us.
The Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlack.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook could be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back to Signs of Life. If you are just tuning in, our guest tonight is N. Riley Hegarty, and this show is sponsored by the Camlack Center, and they could be found on the web at www.camlack.com. If you have a question or comment for our guest, the number here is 888-627-6008. Bob?
And Riley Hegarty has been researching historic spiritualism and mediumship for over three decades now, and has concentrated on the physical phenomena of the great mediums that manifested their gifts between 1848 and 1948. He is convinced that the countless instances of proof of life after death and direct communications of spirits have the potential to change the course of human thinking. He has lectured extensively. He has a great deal of firsthand experience sitting with physical mediums. He has authored many books on the subject, including The Direct Voice, Portraits from Beyond, The Mediumship of the Bang Sisters, The French Revelation, and three volumes of spectral evidence. Riley, welcome back. It's been too long. It's a pleasure to have you back on Signs of Life.
Yeah, thanks for having me again. It's good to be here.
Yeah. You know, as I read, I'm a fan of your books. And of course, you can't help but notice that most of the great physical mediums flourished during the times of war. You had the Civil War, World War One. So is there a connection? Do you think that the massive loss of lives contributed to the popularity of the physical mediums of the day?
Sure. I mean, there was such loss of life that I think the spirit world just opened its portals, and mediums, nature provided mediums for the cause. I mean, there's so much loss of life that it just went hand in hand with what happened. I just think that it was part of the whole experience. And mediums flourished everywhere. They came to the rescue.
Yeah. And really, it wasn't only, I guess, to make connections, but also to find meaning and purpose to their lives during these times. I mean, you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, the mediumship during that time proliferated so much that it did give them meaning, because people were going crazy. They were, like, the loss of life, World War II, World War I, almost the entire youth were wiped out. I mean, it was a tragic times, but I think the spirit world came through when it was needed. It's that simple.
Yeah. I'm fascinated by the direct voice mediumship of Elizabeth Blake, you know, the subject of one of your books. I mean, one of the reasons I'm so intrigued is that her direct voice mediumship took place in total daylight. You know, unlike the vast majority of physical mediums, you know, insisted on total darkness. But before we get into the possible reasons, just explain to our listeners what is meant by direct voice.
Direct voice. There's direct voice and there's independent voice. They're both pretty much the same thing, but direct voice is related to the use of a megaphone. The spirit operators with some mediums would insist on using what is called a trumpet in spiritualist language to amplify the voice and to provide a cavity of darkness so the spirit operators could literally construct a larynx out of the psychic force. The case of Mrs. Blake, the average trumpet with spiritual mediums during the heyday of spiritualism was about 20, 25 inches long. The end was open like a megaphone, like the kind you'd see a cheerleader use during the old high school football games. But in the case of Mrs. Blake, she used a long tube. It was called a horn, actually. And it was very slim, about 20 inches long, and distended in the middle. The ends were about a half inch circumference, but the middle was distended. So Mrs. Blake was able to sit in complete daylight, and the spirit operators would construct their voice inside this little tube. It's almost impossible to explain. To someone who doesn't know anything about it, it's just impossible to explain, really, what took place.
Yeah.
Long tube. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was going to say, you know, we try to explain to people when we talk about mental mediumship that, you know, it's not a direct, like a telephone conversation. You know, the medium pieces together and interprets and so forth. But in Blake's case, what's so amazing is the fact that the voices were almost always recognized and the messages were almost as if a telephone conversation was taking place.
In the case of Mrs. Blake, I have never researched anything like it. There was never a failure that I know of. She manifested her gifts for 60 years in a tiny little cottage on the banks of the Ohio River in Frederick, Ohio. And they said over the course of 60 years, about 200,000 people or more came. Every walk of life, from the poorest to the wealthiest, came to her house. I've never heard of an instance in so-called trumpet mediumship. Whenever there's a trumpet involved, or any form of megaphone, that's considered direct voice. Where in the case of like my first book, Emily French, there was no trumpet involved. You just turn the lights off, and the voices would manifest out of the thin air. But in the case of Mrs. Blake, she was able to operate in daylight because, like I said, the trumpet she used, or the horn, was so slim. It was total darkness in the middle of it. But I've never heard or researched a medium where there was no failure ever. None. And she would invariably ask the sitter, is there anybody you wish to speak to? And in most cases, the very person they wish to speak to would suddenly start talking. I have never heard of that. I consider Mrs. Blake the greatest trumpet medium of all time. Preeminent. In her field.
Yes. And that was, you know, that was another striking difference between that type of mediumship and the mediumship today, is that, you know, we also, you know, always counsel people that a medium cannot summon, you know, any particular spirit to appear. And then reading about Elizabeth Blake, and you know, and the trumpet, it's exactly she would ask the sitter who they would like to speak with. And almost instantly, you know, the voice was recognized as the person with whom they would like to speak. So these voices were heard by the sitter, who had one end of the trumpet to their ear. The other end of the trumpet was to Blake's, you know, ear. Did the voices seem to emanate from the trumpet itself or elsewhere in the room?
They came from the trumpet.
From the trumpet.
Because the little trumpet, because it was so slim, enabled the spirit operators to have total darkness. Whereas your normal direct voice trumpet medium would have to have complete darkness in the room so the spirit operators could work, because light breaks down energy. But because Mrs. Blake use that little trumpet, the spirits would manifest within it. And yes, the sitter would, there's a picture of it in my book, The Direct Voice. It shows her holding the trumpet, surrounded by three gentlemen. And she would usually hold the trumpet to her ear or in the palm of her hand, and the sitter, who was usually sitting right next to her, would hold it to their ear. And in every instance that I've researched, everyone, within seconds, a person who they recognize without any shadow of a doubt, would come through. And of course, with most people, it was almost impossible to believe. But if you read the records carefully of Mrs. Blake, there's no doubt in my mind about what took place, the evidential weight of her phenomenal mediumship.
Right.
I just wish, like August Goforth pointed out in his brilliant foreword to the Direct Voice, my book, it's just the only unfortunate thing is that people didn't ask more penetrating questions of the spirit operators. A lot of the talks were mundane, simple conversations being carried on, which are highly evidential in their own right. But I only wish that someone would have asked more elevated, direct, and deeper questions to the spirits, considering Mrs. Blake's mediumship.
Yeah, you know, and I often wondered, as I'm reading about this and the success that she had, especially doing this in daylight, how come the other mediums of the day didn't try to replicate what she was doing, you know, with the trumpet, with the dark central body to it? You know, I mean, was it just a case of these mediums operated in isolation, or but surely the word must have spread. But don't you wonder about that, why others didn't try to replicate the process?
I have, but I have no answer why they didn't. I don't know.
Yeah.
Some trumpet mediums, like Etta Wright, one of the great direct voice mediums also, who was born in my hometown in Oswego, New York, and eventually lived in Detroit. She would have daylight voices once in a while, but I cannot answer that. I do not know why anybody else would not have used a slim little trumpet like Elizabeth Blake used, so that it supplied darkness. Therefore, you could have the lights on. Because the biggest critics of the day, their main issue was the lights off would give birth to fraudulent practices. But they tried and they tried and they tried with Elizabeth Blake, and they all failed. There's nobody who could disprove her phenomenon. I mean, it's one of the greatest things that ever happened.
Right.
They tried. They tried, boy. James Hyslop, he said that he thought that there's a possibility that Mrs. Blake was speaking through her ear. I mean, come on, that's as far as it can go. She was somehow manifesting the voices herself because she had the trumpet to her ear. I've never heard such an outlandish scientific explanation. She was talking through her ear.
Right. So, but that's the other thing, you know, see, it struck me that the whole process almost seemed like the medium was there as an observer. You know, I mean, they're holding the trumpet. It's not coming through her voice or her vocal cords. The spirit connection is taking place. You know, I likened it to something like EVP in the sense that somebody holding up a recorder and it taking place where the person that was running the recorder was acting as a medium. So, I mean, what do you suppose that it was? I mean, was it the, you know, ectoplasm that she produced, or because there seemed to be very little involvement on her part other than helping to facilitate the connection?
Well, from a very early age, 8 years of age, similar to Emily French in my first book, Elizabeth Blake was endowed with this gift of mediumship, the spirit voices talking immediately. When she was nine, they realized something was going on, and thank goodness the sympathetic parents and people that surrounded her said we should give her a trumpet. And sure enough, the first time she held the trumpet to her ear, a spirit voice talked. It's one of the most glorious gifts that could ever be bestowed on a human being. But all it took was Elizabeth Blake's presence, similar to Emily French. All it would take would be for Emily French to be in the room. Emily French and Elizabeth Blake did not go into trance. Elizabeth Blake would sit there and carry on conversations with the spirits just like they were sitting there. There's no effort, no anything. And she said that they talked to her all the time. They kept her up at night, many nights. They always wanted to talk. So she was endowed with this gift. It took no development circle. She fully developed from birth. Same thing pretty much with Emily French. Emily French, though, she developed her voices stronger when she met the lawyer Edward Randall, and they sat every week. But Elizabeth Blake, right from the get-go, fully developed. It's real, truly astounding. All it took was her presence. I hope I answered your question.
Yeah, you did. And so, it just, you know, like you say, it just it's like ineffable. You can't put it into words. You have to be there to understand it. But, you know, the were the voices heard by others in the room while this was taking place? I mean, besides the person who had the ear to the trumpet, would if there were several other people in the room, would they yes. hear the same voice? Yes.
Yes, most of the time they could. Sometimes the voices were so loud that you could hear them across the room. And sometimes the voices would they would ask for somebody else to come and hold the trumpet. You could hear it very clearly. Very clearly. It was even the whispers in her trumpet were heard by most of the people in the room. And then the spirits would all the time say, oh, I want to talk to so-and-so. Hand the trumpet over to him or her. It was truly astounding.
Yeah, and just so our listeners understand, outlined like in the book, in the direct voice book, I mean, there are transcripts of some of these, you know, sessions, and we're not talking about, you know, general statements. I mean, these were specific evidential conversations that were taking place with the spirit world. I mean, there's no other way to describe it. So it really is amazing. And as you said, people, the numbers were astounding. People would line up and wait for extended periods of time just for the chance of seeing her. And she didn't, at least initially, I don't think she charged for her services, did she?
Not in the beginning. Now, when she was very young, she took 30 to 40 sitters a day. And didn't charge any money. I mean, just charged, if anything, a very feeble amount. And was always selfless, helping the poor, because she never vetted her sittings. But after time, you know, as she grew older, and her husband was recommended, you know, you take less sitters. And then she had some physical difficulties. But after a while, you know, many people were turned down at her door. She just could not take that many sitters as time moved on. People would travel literally hundreds, thousands of miles to see her. But there was never a guarantee you were going to get in. But she would do her best. She died in 1920. I contacted two of the mailmen that actually delivered postage to her house. They're very, very old. They're brothers. And about 25 years ago, I actually got a hold of a mailman who went to her house, and he said at any given time, the streets were literally lined with cars, with license plates from all over the United States, sitting there waiting. And they had was a little cottage on the banks of the Ohio River. It's all it was a tiny little cottage. And they came from everywhere. But they said, it's in my book too, I have numerous clippings about her life, and then when she passed away, they said the street was lined with, at the day of her funeral, with limousines, stately vehicles, and then humble little Ford cars. It was every walk of life came to her funeral in thanks for what she had done, the selfless acts through her great, great mediumship. Truly one of the great gifts to humanity was Elizabeth Blake.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know, as you mentioned, I mean, she was investigated countless times by you know, medical doctors and researchers. Nobody ever found any fraud. Sometimes the voices would come through in another language, of course, a language that she didn't know. And sometimes two voices came through at the same time. So the argument that maybe she was engaging in ventriloquism didn't really hold up when you had two voices at the same time. We have a lot more to talk about. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, we'll be back with Riley Hegarty, the author of many books. We've been talking about Direct Voice, the Direct Voice Mediumship of Elizabeth Blake, but Riley has six books, you know, on the subject. So we'll be back in a couple of minutes. Stay with us. A lot more to talk about.
the CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Am I Psychic is a mobile app designed using statistics, science, and parapsychological protocols to test psychic ability using fun games. Each game has two unique modes. In psychokinesis mode, influence the game using mind over matter ability. In extrasensory perception mode, guess which random option will be chosen. Am I Psychic can store your results in an anonymous database used to eventually publish in academic journals. Available on the App Store and Google Play. Go to ampsychicapp.com and be a part of proving psychic phenomena to the world. Some profits will be donated to the Rhine Research Center.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. After-death communication is an accepted occurrence in many cultures throughout the world, but for many others, proof of this phenomenon is essential, and research shows that contact helps move people through loss and grief. The Sign Registry allows people to register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to specific loved ones. Contact the Forever Family Foundation at foreverfamilyfoundation.org or go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
For anyone just tuning in, we have been talking to N. Riley Hegarty, and this show is sponsored by the CAMLAC Center, and they could be found on the web at CAMLAC.com. We want to remind our listeners to check the events page on our website, foreverfamilyfoundation.org, for all the latest events and happenings. And coming up free next month in June, on June 4th, we have the Cold Spring Harbor, New York Afterlife Discussion Group at the Cold Spring Harbor Library Environmental Center from 6:45 p.m. to 8:45 p.m. Eastern Time. On June 8th, we have the Visionary Explorers Group online from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. That would be 11 to noon Pacific, and anything in between and on the sides you can calculate. Also on June 8th, from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time in Brookline, Massachusetts, our Afterlife Discussion Group meets at the Spirit of Light downstairs in their meeting room. Our next webinar is scheduled for June 26th at 9 p.m. Eastern and will feature Forever Family Foundation certified mediums Janet Mayer, Joe Peretta, and Joe Scheel, hosted by Kimberly Saavedra, and they will discuss and take questions live from attendees on how to select the right medium. It starts at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Please calculate the times for wherever you are in the world. We have a limited number of free member-only seats using the code MEDIUMS2019, And for non-members, we have half-price seating using the code HOW2019. The annual summer group retreat, Love Knows No Death, is open for enrollment. Be sure to grab one of the remaining seats to this great weekend where attendees work in small groups with certified mediums Rebecca Enlow Cicero, Siri Bernstein, and Joe Scheel, along with Dr. Mohanna and a caring staff of facilitators assisting in transforming your grief. This special weekend is scheduled for July 26th through 28th, 2019, in Chester, Connecticut, where you will learn that the mystery of death is not a mystery at all, but a doorway to another chapter of continuing life. Hurry, early bird registration ends on May 25th. That's two more days. And please help us keep all of our programs going by visiting our website and clicking on the donation button. It's on every single page. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that all other traditional not-for-profits enjoy. You can always help us pay our bills by participating in iGive.com, Amazon.com, Amazon Smile, and great nonprofits. And follow us on our YouTube channel for great stories and videos at youtube.com/afterlifeeducation. Back to you, Bob.
And we're back with Raleigh Hegarty, and we're talking about historic spiritualism and mediumship. Raleigh, I noticed, you know, a lot of people are always cognizant of the fact that it seems that as time goes on, the communications that they get from their loved ones and spirits seem to wane. They're not as prevalent as they once were. But I noticed in your books that especially I know in Elizabeth Blake's case, the people heard from relatives that died 50 years or more earlier. So was that the exception, or is that a rare case? Or?
In her case, you know, the mediums I read about were just the greatest ones within that time frame. I call it the century of wonders, although it was longer than a century. I was like 1848 to like 1960. I'm not sure how to explain it. The mediums were so great that people would come in, like you say, that were had passed away 40, 50 years previous. That's just the extent of their mediumship, the power of it. But in the present day, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. It doesn't happen too much anymore. The quality of mediumship is just not the same as it was. It just isn't.
Yeah. Well, you know, the problem I have in reading your books and reading about this stuff is it blows away a lot of the theories that we had about mediumship. I mean, I always felt that those in the spirit realm needed assistance the same way that we do in learning how to communicate with the physical world, you know, and that people in spirit had varying degrees of ability in that regard. But especially like in Blake's case, there seemed to be no significant difference among the spirits in that regard. They all seem to be able to communicate.
Yep, that's right. So it's just an exceptional case, just like Emily French and all the mediums I've written about. It just was an exceptional, incredible time. I just think that century back then, there was no distractions as such like there are now. Air was cleaner, the water was cleaner. Then you move forward, of course, in the 50s came the nuclear age. Then everything started to happen. The age of mechanics came, and now look, we have cell towers and radio waves everywhere. That's just a theory I have. When people ask me, where are the great mediums now? I just think that life is different now. The heyday of spiritualism is almost like just a century in world history. That's it. I don't think it's going to be repeated. It just happened. And not a great many, a great deal of people are interested in the subject. I mean, I write these books, but there's not a phenomenal interest in the subject, and that surprises me. You know, it really does. But I think sooner or later, the world will come around and realize the importance of what these mediums said. Positive proof of life after death. And how every act is cause and effect. You know, what you put out there will come around. In the teachings of spiritualism, they formulate teachings for your conscious, you know, your conscience, so you live an honest life. Teachings of spiritualism are wondrous, as you know.
Yeah, so the law of cause and effect, as a you know, was really prominent, you know, or we can relate to it in terms of historic spiritualism, right?
Of course, the teachings, besides the phenomena, the teachings were always that way. It was always beyond religion, beyond anything. What you think, how you act, what you do to others, at the moment of death, there's nothing that can save you from your own actions. But we can get into that subject at another time. I can get very depthy about that subject.
Right.
Okay. The teachings of spiritualism is a whole other thing besides the phenomena. Because it challenges all the Orthodox religions to the core. Every bit of it.
Yeah,
there's no saving of yourself.
I think also when you think about other possible reasons why we can't replicate this age of spiritualism. I know that the mediums of the day, you know, sat in circles, you know, for years, sometimes persisting, even though nothing was really, you know, happening in the early on. And today we seem to want a shortcut and instant gratification for everything. You know, I want to be a medium and I'll take a course or two, and I'll go out there. So maybe we have to go back to our roots and hone these gifts and these abilities and these phenomena in without any shortcuts.
Right. I mean, if you look at the world today, we all can see that everyone's in a hurry, everyone's distracted. You go to the airport. When I go to the airport to take a flight anymore, you're sitting at the gate, and no one's talking to one another. They're all looking at their phones. There's no socializing. The world wants everything quick, like you said. And you can't do that with mediumship. The spirit operators will never, they'll never come through. They'll never work with you if they detect that you're in a hurry or you're not going to dedicate your life to the cause. Now it just seems like everyone's in a hurry and distracted. In a big, big way. And that's not how it was in the heyday of mediumship. The family circle was very sacred. There was no TV or cell phones or none of that stuff. You know, it was a very sacred event. You're meeting with the ancestors every week, especially with the child mediums. You know, the family protected and helped to nurture the young mediums. That's why they developed the ones that needed development into the great mediums of the day, because they had the sacredness of the home circle, you know. And now it's hard to get people to get together to do anything.
They're absolutely.
It seems like you can't try to get a group of people to do anything anymore. It's just very difficult. Distraction plays a big part in it.
I was going to say I don't have a lot of experience with physical mediumship. I mean, obviously our focus is really on the mental mediumship, but I have sat in a séance with a physical medium, and there were varying physical phenomena taking place, but no specific evidence of discarnate communication. And to me, I didn't find any comfort and hope, you know, with regards to life after death from the various physical phenomena, because I was looking for, you know, evidence, and there were other explanations that I could come up with the physical phenomena. So, I mean, do you agree that in sitting with a physical medium that there should be some sort of communication or evidence from a discarnate entity?
The very meaning of mediumship is the consolation received by the sitter coming to the medium. Without evidential messages, the mediumship to me is worth nothing. A lot of the physical mediums, it's a dog and pony show where there's no evidence. So I'm not sure what is gained. When a person goes to a medium, they want to connect with their loved ones. That's it. The bottom line is either there's evidence or there's not. There's no in between. That's why it's confusing these days. A lot of the physical mediumship is just a dog and pony show. It's not, there's no personal messages. But back in the heyday of spiritualism, the great mediums, that's what it was all about. Like Elizabeth Blake we talk about tonight. You go to Elizabeth Blake, your mother or your father or whoever would come through and talk to you. You would know who it was. And you walk away and your life is transformed. Now, I don't see that hardly anywhere. My wife is one of the great mediums, actually. She is a clairvoyant, and she has many, many sitters. They come, and they're transformed, because she gives real, real messages. And she's very rare. It's a rare thing these days. But I agree completely that the consoling, heart-to-heart connection between you and the spirit is what mediumship is. Very, very rare these days.
Well, I'm giving you the task, Riley, of channeling a Elizabeth Blake or Emily French. You know, we need them back again, you know?
Well, you know what? Back in the day, I'll give you just quickly just one example. In the 1930s, the British medium, Molly Perriman, she and her husband sat for 12 years. Just her and her husband, they sat at a table, turned the lights out, put their hands on the table. He was like an architect, and she was a housewife. But they said, we're going to try this spirit thing. It was 1930. 12 years, they sat with not one single solitary thing happening. Nothing. 12. Finally, at the end of the 12th year, a tap resounded on the table, and the door was opened. But for 12 years, and then eventually, Molly Perriman became one of the greatest independent voice mediums. But that kind of diligence, that is what it takes. That's what I really believe is what it takes. If you want to manifest the gifts of historic spiritualism, you've got to really put everything into it, because I think that the spirits have raised the stakes now. Because the world is so screwed up and fast-paced and impatient.
Yeah. Well said, Riley. We reached the end of the time, but I think you hit it right on the button. We're talking with Riley Hegarty. Six books. Check them out. The book we've been talking about, Direct Voice, the mediumship of Elizabeth Blake. But there are many others. There were Amazon links to purchase the book in the emails that you got. The books, especially, I think four of the books are available on Lulu Books, L-U-L-U. Riley, his last name, if you Google him, is H-E-A-G-E-R-T-Y. Thank you, Riley, so much for being with us tonight, and I hope to talk to you again soon.
Yes, it was great. A great pleasure as always, and we'll be talking again, definitely.
All right. Thanks, Riley.
We now ask our listeners to please join us in our global peace prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from all participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind. Let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away,
and science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.